tonight. And I appreciate you folks being here. Amen. It's a going to try to end the year right tonight, start 2026 off as we should. And it's hard to believe it's New Year's Eve, but it is. And it is good to be in church tonight, good to be in church with you. Thank you for being here. Let's look at chapter 8. Chapter 8. Of course, we all understand that Romans is one of the most important books in all the Bible, certainly in the New Testament. And I believe the majority of believers would say it's one of their favorite. Many would say maybe the Gospel of John. But the book of Romans, for doctrinal purposes, would be right up there with it. And of all that's in the book of Romans, chapter 8 is certainly a highlight. And I came tonight, I didn't come tonight. I spent the morning getting ready to preach just from the book of Romans, chapter 8. And in the process, a new thought developed. And so we're going to spend our time down towards the end of the chapter. If you look down at verse 31, there's just so much there, you know, and you can't preach it all. But verse 31, Romans chapter 8, verse 31, says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" And the point is there that God has done so much for us in order for us to get saved. And now that we are saved, how much more gracious will he be? Verse 33, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." Amen. He's the judge of all. He knows everything. Amen. He sees it all. He's ruled already. And who's going to overrule his judgment? There is no higher court, right? And if he has justified me and you, well, who can object to the Lord? And we know the answer to that. None can. Verse 34 says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, one also who also maketh intercession for us." So we're talking about security in this chapter. From all angles, it is absolute. Thank God it is. From the angle of the Father, from the angle of the Son, from the angle of the Holy Spirit, that point is made. The Godhead has us covered. And just as far as Christ is concerned, there's the price that he paid at the cross, the power that he displayed at the tomb, and there's the position that he holds at the throne. And that all guarantees that those of us that are justified through faith in Christ, we're justified forever. And so the challenge stands, who is he that condemneth? You know how we would word that would be, you know, just who do you think you are? Amen. If we were to be condemned, if someone were to condemn me, it would have to be on the basis of my sin. And yet Christ is the one that died and paid for my sin. And now he's risen again and seated at the right hand of God making intercession for me. And so in short, he's on our side. That's what chapter 8 is saying. And as I said, at the cross, he's paid the price. At the tomb, he displayed the power, and before the throne, he holds the position. Verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." For a subject tonight, I draw your attention there to verse 36, where Paul, by the Spirit of God, is quoting David, who by the Spirit of God speaks, writes Psalms 44, verse 22. It says, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." And I want to preach on that tonight. We are accounted as sheep. The good thing about that is we're his sheep. And the passage shows us we'll never be condemned, we'll never be conquered, we'll never be cast away. We are secure by the labor of Christ, talking about the finished work of Jesus at the cross. And by the cross we're secure. Sure as that happened, our sins are paid for. So we're secure by the labor of Christ. He goes on to say we're secure by the life of Christ. He arose that we might be justified through Him. And we've got Him now as our representation before God the Father. And so as long as He lives, we stand saved. We stand justified. Secure by the labor of Christ. Secure by the love of Christ. And that's a love that's enabling. A love that's everlasting. A love that is enduring. And being counted as sheep to the Lord. There's a benefit there for us to look into about our relationship to God. And so here, the final service of the year, we're going to think along those lines. Being accounted as sheep shows, first of all, we need a shepherd. Everyone needs a shepherd. People get into trouble when they live without a shepherd. Jesus, when He was here on earth, the Bible says over there in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, that when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Those who seek to live their lives without God are living without a shepherd. And folks, we need a shepherd. Why? Because we're counted as sheep. We're like sheep. And men who live away from the Lord are like men who are scattered about. And that leads to certain fainting. Get Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And as the psalmist says, that the Lord is my shepherd for all who are saved. He is our shepherd, the good shepherd who gave His life for the sheep, the great shepherd who leads us and guides us along the way, day by day. And the chief shepherd, the scripture says, who's coming again. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. So the Lord knows His sheep. And so that's a blessing to Him. We're known to Him. We're His. We're accounted as sheep. We belong to Him. And He is jealous for what belongs to Him. Here in Hebrews 13, look at verse 20. Hebrews 13, verse 20 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Being accounted as sheep, we need a shepherd, and we got one. Amen. We got the good one, the good shepherd. Matter of fact, we got the chief shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4 says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. He is the chief shepherd. None are above Him. There's no one beside Him. He's the great shepherd, and He was made to be so by the blood of the everlasting covenant, it says, and He's going to work and make you and I perfect, amen, in every good work according to His will, and He'll do that all along the way. So being accounted as sheep, we need a shepherd. And listen, sheep also need a sheepfold. And thank the Lord, we have both. We're made part of His sheepfold. We know Him. We're known of Him. And He should be recognized among us always. We come to church to worship Him. Everything's about Him. Our songs are about Him. Our messages are about Him. At the end of each service, there's decisions made about our walk with Him. We're anxiously awaiting His voice. Because one day our shepherd, He's going to come and we're going to be looking up, amen, and by the work that He's performed within us, He's going to change us thoroughly, and we're going to be like Him. We're going to be glorified, amen, and we're talking about the one that makes us to lay down in green pastures and restores our soul and leads us beside the still waters. One of these days, we're going to see Him. Right now, every day, He's leading us, you and me, in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, because we're His sheep. Because we're the sheep of His pasture. And being accounted as sheep, we need a shepherd. We need a sheepfold. Which means this, in simple, we need other sheep. Every Christian needs other sheep. A sheepfold, of course, is where we can be together and walk together. We can look out for each other and pray for one another. We can be in close fellowship and the shepherds care for the flock. And when we get away from the sheepfold, what happens is we're wandering away to a certain degree from our fellowship with the shepherd in that respect. And by wandering, we're straying from his guidance. We're doing so through self-will. And there's much going on in this world that is always at work trying to scatter us, trying to cause us to wander away from the sheepfold. Why? So that we'll end up fainting. Because we need other sheep. Amen. Sheep are not to be loners. Amen. We can't strive spiritually when we're away from the sheepfold. As the Lord's people, we got to be around the Lord's work. We got to be around the Lord's word. Amen. Where it's collectively taught and preached. And just as it's implied in John 9:36, when we get scattered away from that spiritual fellowship with one another, we end up certainly fainting. We need each other. We need the Lord. Part of the Lord's ministry to us is going to come from other sheep. That's just it. Look at Psalms 23, since we're talking about this. Yet Psalms 23, sheep need a shepherd and, of course, a sheepfold. But third, sheep need to be fed. Amen. That's why we need a sheepfold. Being accounted as sheep, we need a pasture. We don't just need a new place. Amen. Everyone looking for something new. Something new will not sustain you. Amen. You know what you need? You need a place where you can be nourished. Where you can be nurtured up in the will of God and nourished in the word of God. David said here, look at verse 4. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And look at this. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Here we're going into 2026, and we need to be aware, amen, that there's going to be things that are going to try us this coming year. Things that will, in life, aim to scatter us, amen, from the Lord's word and from the Lord's work and from the Lord's people. And it'll lead us towards fainting. It's hard, amen, to foresee these things and think about what it could be, because chances are we wouldn't be able to guess it. But we're going to take blows this year, amen. And so what we've got to do right now, tonight, is determine to be thankful. You are His sheep. He is your shepherd, amen. He's furnished you a pasture and a sheepfold, and you're part of a fellowship. And in this pasture, you will get fed, amen. For God has prepared you a table in this world, even in the presence of your enemies. Despite our flesh, amen, despite the devil and despite the world, we got a place to eat. We got a place where we can have fellowship and we can draw nigh to the shepherd, amen. You will be nourished. There's the meat of the Word of God. There's that meat Jesus spoke of. He said, "I have meat to eat you know not of." He's talking about the work of the Lord, amen, saying it sustained Him, it kept Him going. We need that kind of nourishment. We got to eat, just like sheep do, because we're accounted. We're accounted as sheep. The New Testament says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, on Jesus' ascension back to God, He gave gifts unto men. Tells you what those gifts are. And he says this, he gave some apostles. And we were given those gifts, even though there are no apostles today. You and I benefit from the ministry of the apostles by the New Testament. And it says he gave some prophets. And of course, upon the completion of the New Testament, we don't need that anymore. And some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what? It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And how long does this last, Lord? He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. See, that's going to happen at the end. When the dead in Christ go up first and we which are alive go up after, we're going to be like Jesus Christ. Until then, folks, we need to be around the ministry. As God has given to us the ministry, sheep must be led, sheep must be fed. Remember there after the resurrection, while Simon, of course, he's still wobbling. He's went through a traumatic experience. He denied the Lord when he didn't think he would, and he'd done it three times. And upon his return, he's found the Lord is risen indeed. And after, of course, you know, he's dealing with this, he's talking with the Lord, they're having a conversation. And the Lord, of course, as a shepherd, is trying to restore Peter back into the work there, and he leads him to confess three times his love for Christ. And after the Lord has fed those men, because it says, when they had dined, the Lord fed them, and he begins to ask Peter, you know the question, do you love me? And Peter said, yeah, Lord, and the Lord charged him, saying what? The Lord said, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. And when that happened again, he said, feed my sheep. And when that happened the third time, it was as if Peter thought the Lord wasn't believing him, or maybe, you know, he was convicted about what had happened because of his own failure. But the Lord, he was making another point there. He's getting Peter back in the game. He's getting him back with his head on, amen, straight. And he says that third confession there, you know, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. And upon that, he doesn't comfort Peter and say, yeah, I know. We had to do that. No, that's not what he does. Upon that third time, he just tells him again, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. See, folks, every time I get to stand in this pulpit, I want to feed the Lord's flock. I want the shepherd to use me in the green pastures of his word. You know why? Chiefly because I love the shepherd. He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, amen. And I love our shepherd. Amen. Listen, going into 2026, let us realize it's all about our shepherd. Where he leads, I will follow, amen. We got the good shepherd, the chief one. No one's above him. And as far as his care for us now, every single one of us would testify, he's the great shepherd. He knows what he's doing. Even when we don't have a clue, our great shepherd knows what he's doing. Fourth, being accounted as sheep, we have to understand, we have to avoid hirelings. We have to avoid hirelings. Now, hirelings is somebody who's for hire. And you'd say, well, a man who's full-time in the ministry better be careful about this point here, but understand this, that sheep aren't pets. You know, sheep's provision. And those over sheep are taking care of a means, because sheep provide, and the Word of God has told us the Lord has ordained it to be so. Over in John chapter 10, you know, look over there. Let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And Paul's making this case. He's being criticized about the offerings he was receiving. And I think about what he answered. He said, mine answer to them that do examine me is this. And he gives them an answer. And he goes on and he says, who goeth to warfare any time in his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Then he shows that such is not just him talking. He's not just making an argument, reasoning with them. But the principle, he said, is stated in the law of God as well. He says that they're not to muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. And he quotes more scripture in the Old Testament. Says, he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. And so he goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? He goes on to make the conclusion there, he that preaches the gospel should live of the gospel. Just as those Old Testament ministers were ministering to the altar, he said they should be partakers of what's on the altar. So he's making that point. He says, even so hath the Lord ordained. So my point is, there's a means there. This is not a condemnation of full-time ministry. To say someone's a hireling there. A hireling is not someone who partakes from the flock. Not someone who's provided for by the flock. That's assumed. That is an Old Testament and a New Testament principle. A hireling is someone who uses the sheep as a means. Just as a job. That's all the sheep are to him. One who uses and abuses the sheep. Doesn't care for the sheep. And leads them where he wants to go. And he's not interested in where they need to go. He's just interested in, you know, how the wind's blowing. This is why Jesus warns here in John chapter 9. Look at verse 9. John chapter 9, verse 9. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Meaning the proper sheepfold. Christ is the door. The proper sheepfold, he's the only way in. You got to go through the door. You got to go through the shepherd to get in. Verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. But beloved, this is what I believe God was referring to when he said of David, he's a man after my own heart. I believe he's referring to this very principle because David showed he was willing to lay down his life for the sheep he was caring for. And those sheep was his father's sheep. And he was given the oversight of taking care of those sheep there. And when they were taken by a lion and a bear, there wasn't no weighing that thing out. And him saying, well, it is what it is. It's gone now. Let's just let it go. David went after those sheep. And he removed the threat of that which was attacking that flock, amen, because David was no hireling. And the Lord looked at David and said, you know, that's a man after my own heart. Well, there are people in the ministry that are for sale. People have lost their discernment, amen. They're all in it for the money because they know how to work it for their advantage. They're CEOs in the pulpit. It's a business to them. They know how to make it thrive. They know how to push people's buttons. They know how to motivate people for themselves. And they use people and they abuse people there and they obsess then with how they're viewed by people. How they present themselves there. It's all about that. The great problem is they don't protect sheep. They won't protect sheep. They won't deal with threats out there. They won't deal with things that will lead flocks astray or lead sheep away from the flock. Amen. They don't deal with the nasty issues of false doctrine and controversy and confusion. They're just interested in growing the flock. Because a larger flock makes them look good, amen. And of course that sounds good, but the objective, folks, is not to have a big flock. That's not the objective. The objective is to follow the shepherd. Go where he leads, amen. And that the sheep would know him by his voice. That's the objective there. Protect the flock. Keep the threats away. But a hireling's not going to do that. So it's a bad setup. When you got somebody who's for sale. Somebody who's in it for self-interest, self-promotion. Somebody who will use people and stand on their head so that he looks big. You got that? That's a bad setup. Being accounted as sheep, we become targets for wolves. That's a fact. I mean, it's just part of being a sheep, right? Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Wolves start stalking and looking to attack. And just a part of life in the sheepfold. Being accounted as sheep, we need a shepherd, we need a sheepfold, we got to be fed, we got to avoid hirelings, and we're targets. We're targets for wolves. Paul the Apostle here is signing out to the elders of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, look at verse 28. The whole passage is about it, but look at verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now that's said that the church belongs to God. All right. That's not the denomination, right? The church, the body of Christ, belongs to God, which he purchased with his own blood. The antecedent is God. And it's his blood by which we're purchased. And he says in verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone, night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. What's Paul saying? He's saying, watch, be circumspect, be on guard, because there's wolves out there. Watch out for wolves. They come to deceive, they come to devour. And here's the thing, wolves come out of hiding. They come out of hiding. They don't make a lot of noise broadcasting their intentions. They're not running two hills down the way there, barking and yelling, making all that racket, amen, broadcasting their coming. That's not the way they operate. What Jesus is referring to in its proper context tonight. Let me read it to you. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. That's the proper context. It's about false prophets. And he's saying you got to watch out for them. They're like wolves. They're hiding out. They're in sheep's clothing. They're false prophets operating with a false spirit for false motives. They preach a false message. And we're rightfully warned against such. Why? Because as the Lord takes account of us, the Bible says we're counted as sheep. We're counted as sheep. We're targets. We're targets. Not long ago, we was hearing about the California fires. You remember about that, the Palisades and all that that was burning down. And there was a lot of political hay made about where was the water and the reservoirs and why did it get so far out of hand. And all that there, I've seen one instance where fire officials are on this site after it's burned through there. And this guy named Dustin Mill pulls up in one of those burned out areas there at the Palisades. And they're just about to wave him through. And the reason is because, you know, it's just the remains of a very well-off area that had burned. And he's driving this full-size fire truck and has California plates on it. It's got the American decals on it and everything. I mean, it looked like the thing. And he's wearing gear that looked like, you know, he was supposed to be there. And there's a firefighter at the checkpoint that something just doesn't fit right there. And so he's feeling like something's off. He says, hold on a minute. And he orders a check to be made on this guy's identification. And that background check revealed that this guy's a criminal. And that one of the crimes he had committed was arson. And that actually he had done a 5-year stint in prison for it. And when they started searching his truck, they found all kinds of tools for burglary and things that he could use to stow away people's property there that the fire hadn't taken from them. I mean, the fire got everything else. He's there to get the rest, amen. Despicable. Just didn't care. You know why? Because he's a thief. Now, I don't know that I'm preaching to one thief in here tonight. I know it's all in us, but I mean, we don't let it out. Right? I don't think we do. And so we don't think like them. You know, we'll just wave them through. We don't think like a thief. We don't think, surely there's no one there going to, after these folks have been, went through the trauma of losing most everything to a fire, surely there's no one coming through there to steal the rest of it. But there are people that are just that wicked. They've got that kind of problem. And that wasn't the only case there. They found that there were others there pretending to be like they're supposed to be there, and they cared about the victims, and they really, they're just interested in getting, you know, they're not there for anyone's good but their own. They're trying to get their goods there. And, you know, that chief of police, after all that was settling down there, he said, anytime something like this happens, you're going to have these types that'll go all out to do what it is they do. They're just people like that. They think like that. You know, it looks like, you know, I mean, you're hearing a lot about this Minnesota stuff, this fraud going over there, and I don't know everything, but I know a lot of it's done in the name of child care and child protection and child education, you know. Help the children, yeah. They're helping themselves. Just get the money, that's all that matters. There are wolves in the ministry. There are wolves there who lurk around and lie in wait, and everything seems like it's on the up and up, and all of a sudden, it's not. There was an ugly wolf under that. It says over in Jesus, talking in Matthew 10:16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves. That's Jesus saying to you and I, you better wisen up. You better sharpen up, amen. There are wolves out there. And the Lord accounts us as sheep. But so does the devil. We are prime for the picking. Sheep are vulnerable when it comes to wolves. And the attack of such. We don't think like them. We don't operate like them. We're not motivated by what motivates them. So we tend to fall for what they're pushing. We tend to believe what they're saying. If we don't seek discernment through prayer and the Word of God, we'll be taken advantage of. And so we've got to be circumspect. The wolf is descriptive of many things, but mostly because of what they do. Right? I mean, when Jesus talks about a wolf, He's liking it to the effects of their attack and the way they approach and what their motive is there. We're warned about it because of what they do, the end result. What is the case of a sheep that's been attacked by a wolf? That's what we're warned about. They can make a mess out of a believer. They can make a mess out of a group of believers. Because usually wolves run in packs anyway. Go to 1 John. Get to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And so of these wolves, there are different kinds. And for effect, you know, there are different kinds. One are the self-deceived, or are those who are just deceived by others. Meaning they're sincere. That they may be the most effective kind. Because they believe what they're saying. And they've fallen for it themselves there. And so they're deceived themselves into believing their message is true. They're propagating false doctrine. Why? Because they believe the false doctrine. They fell for it themselves. Then there's another kind of wolf. It's just a blatant liar. See, anyone who denies the Father and the Son is Antichrist. That question is recorded in Scripture. I mean, you don't need a lot of discernment for this one. I mean, the question in your Bible is literally this: who is a liar? It's literally recorded in Scripture, who is a liar? And the question is also recorded, and the answer is given. Amen. You're looking right here at it. It's tied to those that deny the deity of Christ, that deny the truth of the incarnation. Look at verse 21. Verse 21, chapter 2. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? But he that denieth Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Keep in mind there, when Jesus claimed to be the Son, they said he blasphemed. Why? Because he made himself equal with the Father. Here in verse 23, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Folks, that's some serious words you're reading in Scripture right there. And it's exposure. Watch out for wolves. Amen. There's some out there that are just blatant liars. There's some out there that are deceived themselves. And the next group of wolves is just heretics. Look at 2 Peter. Go to your right. Keep going to your right there. 2 Peter chapter 2. Next group is heretics. Those who preach heresy. False doctrine. They divide churches. They divide churches and they confuse people. They deceive people. Look at verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Denying the Lord, you know, one of the ways you do that is denying He is the Lord. Verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Amen. They'll not only deny the truth, they'll teach others to deny the truth. The fourth group of wolves are scoffers. They may not necessarily promote any kind of false teaching so much as they just outright reject God's truth. And they try to influence others away from God's truth. There's a whole lot of that in America right now. All over the internet, the World Wide Web. You better watch it. The world will get you with its web. Amen. Look at chapter 3, verse 3. Chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Peter 3, 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. See, just mouthy, clamorous. Look over to Jude, this time really to your right. You're real right this time. Jude. Clamorous, they make a lot of noise. They don't know the answers. They don't search them out. They make accusations they haven't studied out themselves. Amen. There's a growing population in America on that what they call an online presence. People who are just there to mock others for what they believe. And I don't even know if they've researched anything out. I mean, it doesn't look like they have. Look at verse 15, Jude 15. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly. This is Enoch's message. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among all of them their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. You know, that's all they care about. What kind of degree you got on the wall, you know, all that. Everything else is just, you know, to them, it's not to be considered. You know, they say follow the science. When you show them scientific facts, they say you're not following the science. You got a lot of that. You got a lot of that. You know what? That's a wolf. Along those same lines, another group of wolves are just blasphemers. They speak evil of God. They speak evil of Christ. Speak evil of the Holy Spirit there, of the church, of God's word. Amen. Anything that pertains to God, Jude mentions these two. Six, some wolves are seducers. They lure into traps. And some are just reprobates, just rejected, false, depraved. There's just different kinds of wolves out there you got to be aware of. And so we need discernment. In 2026, it's going to get worse. Amen. The longer we're here, the worse it's going to get. Amen. Good news, good news. It's just going downhill from here. Amen. And I hate to be a prophet of doom, but it's the truth. You need your Bible more today than you did yesterday. And as you go along, amen, we need to be in prayer, and we need to be dependent upon the Lord. Six, being accounted as sheep, we need a shepherd, we need a sheepfold, we need to be fed, we have to avoid hirelings. There are wolves to be watching for, and I mention it because being accounted as sheep, we have a tendency to stray. Just part of being a sheep. Just the way sheep are. I mean, this is assumed. Remember the prophecy in Isaiah 53, 750 years before Christ is born. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep. Just assumed. Just what sheep do. And that's what we've done. That's what he's saying. It's a common thing. Left to myself, I will go astray. Left to ourselves, all will. It's just a part of being accounted as sheep. It's what's in us. It's part of what we do. And it's good tonight to end the year having come together in church there and be around the ministry of the Word of God and preparing our hearts to be able to pray together one last time. And just entails, you know, the fellowship of a sheepfold. Thank God. Amen. Good way to end the year. But in 2026, we better know that as sheep, we're liable to be, as sheep are known for being, astray. Astray. Amen. I say it every year. There are people that were here last year that aren't here this year. We see new people come in, and if you're not careful, they lose their place and, you know, out of sight, out of mind. But at first, when they first gone, they're not out of my mind. You know, I got to fight taking the thing personal and everything else. You know, what have I done? What have I done? What have I done? You find out a lot of times it's imagined. It's not what anyone's done. They just went astray. And you try to get them back. You try to figure out how to get them back. You're not going to get them back until they get the right heart and they get the right mind. People fall out of church every year. People you would never think are out will be out this time next year. Peter says, for you were a sheep going astray. See that? Ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. You know what sheep do? They go astray. We all do. So we've got to be careful, 2026, that we have the grit it takes to stay in the pasture. Stay under the shepherd, amen. Make sure your loyalty is right. You're not here for me. I'm not here for you. We're here for the shepherd. Amen. It shouldn't be me that runs you off. Amen. You shouldn't be able to let, you know, me sit at home licking my wounds. Amen. I'm not here for you. I'm glad you're here. Don't misread me. I hate every one of you. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying my primary motive for being here is the shepherd. We are the sheep of his pasture. Seventh, I'll finish with this one right where we started. When we started in Romans chapter 8, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's us. All day long we're killed. That's who we are. Romans chapter 8, verse 36 there. Amen. I mean, and there's another principle there. I won't get into it tonight because it's about a living sacrifice, living on the altar. I won't even touch that tonight. But I'll just say that our heritage involves a lot of sheep that died for our liberties and our freedoms that we have in the body of Christ to be able to operate with this. Now, God gave us our liberties, our freedoms. I know that. But he provided for us to be able to move around as we do by a lot of blood that was shed before us. That's true about Americans. It's more true as Christians. Because for generations, this has been something that's just happened. And it's happening now. It's happening now. We just don't hear about it. You know, it's not being reported in the news, so people don't care. But there are people dying for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ right now this year. And I think about this. I was asked to be at Career Day over there at Fairview. And at first I was like iffy. I didn't know what that meant. So I did reluctantly agree to do it there. And it turned out to be a surprise and blessing. They were bringing different schools by to come through there. And the night before, Angie said, "Well, what kind of display are you going to have?" I said, "What are you talking about?" So we had to hurry and get a display together. I took Brother Steve's signs and posters of preaching and books and tracts and pamphlets and all kinds of stuff. I had a full table there that day that I got to set up there, and others were coming through. And I got to witness to a lot of sheep. Amen. I got to witness to folks who were lost. One-on-one, I got to witness to lost folks in groups. But I also got to witness to a lot of sheep. Because there's a lot of folks that name the name of Christ in Scott County. Thank God, amen. I hope they're all saved. I really do. And I was telling them, I don't want to give a false impression. I realize this is Career Day. I wanted them to know I hadn't chosen this career, that I was called to preach. And when I came to pastor here, I didn't give an application. This was a matter of prayer and the will of God. That's how I ended up as pastor. I didn't want to give a false impression there. But then I got to tell about Ephesians 4, about walking worthy of your vocation. And what the job is of every Christian. And talk about the importance of them telling others about Jesus Christ. On Career Day, groups coming in at a time, claiming to be saved, taking tracts and literature and all this kind of stuff, signs, you know, for their parents' cars, I guess. but telling them, go tell others about Jesus. And to give that charge and that motivation to them there, I would give them the testimony of John Getty and his testimony that he had about, you know, his work as a missionary to the New Hebrides Islands and the memorial they made to him upon his death. And you've heard it before, but it simply says this: in memory of John Getty, born in Scotland, 1850, minister in Prince Edward Island, 7 years, missionary sent from Nova Scotia to Antietam, that's that island, for 24 years. When he landed in 1848, there were no Christians here. And when he left in 1872, there were no heathen. That's one of the greatest testimonies I've ever heard. But you know what was going on before him that you don't hear about? Was waves of missionaries going into that unreached part of the world. And they were carrying the gospel and they were killed. And many of them suffered cannibalism. They were eaten. This horrific fates. They all went through there. And you know what? They went and they went and they went and they went until he got in. And when he got in, he had the lot with him. And the light changed everything about that place. But scores of sheep went beforehand. And they were slaughtered. They were slaughtered. Now, I want us to understand tonight. They didn't fail. His success was also their success. There's a poem a young lady wrote many years ago. And I've read it here a long time ago. Here, I want to read it again tonight. It says, on the far reef the breakers recoil in shattered foam, while still the sea behind them urges its forces home. Its song of triumph surges o'er all the thunderous din. And that wave may break in failure, but the tide is sure to win. The reef is strong and cruel upon its jagged wall. One wave, a score, a hundred, broken, beaten, fall. Yet in defeat they conquer. The sea comes flooding in. Wave upon wave is routed, but that tide is sure to win. Almighty sea, the message and changing spray is cast. Within God's plans of progress, it matters not at last. How wide the shores of evil, how strong the reefs of sin. The wave may be defeated, but the tide is sure to win. And I want to remind you tonight, you're part of that tide because you're the sheep of His pasture. This one time, Brother Gary Boyd, I'd even say, roll tide, roll. 2026, don't get out of pasture. Don't get out of the way, amen. We're His sheep. We're sheep, but we're His sheep. He's our shepherd. And what a blessing it is to have that purpose in life. Amen. Love His sheep. Love His word. Love His work. Let's pray. Father, what a blessing it is here on the last day of 2025 to be able to meet with Your people and talk about the year ahead. And in some ways, Lord, I guess we're all naive because we have no idea what the year ahead holds.